I'll tell you that.
Well, I'll tell you how we do it. Raised right with
That's
his
right.
name.
That's right. We're going after it today. We're just going headlong. We're going to stick with our game plan. The B team's with us, John Oliver and his hair.
That's right.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm going to work off a tee today since we're kind of out of practice.
So. I wish that we were like on television because you could see John's hair to know how
it's majestic.
It's magnificent is the word. Right now with headphones on, he looks like his ears need to be shaved.
It's majestic.
We can't because we love. Josh Roberts is with us. Josh, how are you?
I'm doing great. And Ned, I wanted to tell you, I tried Jim Beam Peach the other night.
Oh
gosh, it's wonderful. I didn't expect it to be, but it was great.
Well, because it's sweet?
Yeah, it's sweet.
Okay.
But not too sweet.
Just like Ned.
Yeah.
Sweet, but
you're
not
sweet, but not too sweet.
And if you drink a lot of the Jim Beam Peach and have a lot of Ned Reynolds, it'll hit you right in the face.
Mark Stormy Davis will join us in a little bit, too. He's our bookie. We'll talk to him. He doesn't lay the bets right, but he is our bookie.
Oh, wow.
We'll tell you that story. We'll hear it a little bit. His face is red. He's ready to go back to his wrestling days and hit me with the chair. But let's talk about it. Table. Okay, a couple of weeks ago, we had the Chiefs' final game of the season. They played the Philip Rivers Chargers and win for the Chiefs. I was surprised. Was anybody here surprised that the Chiefs went full bore the whole game? They didn't put their
They had to,
yeah,
because of the game between the New England Patriots and the Tennessee Titans. They really had to do that. I beg your pardon.
Miami Dolphins.
Titans was last week. The Miami Dolphins. It was considered to be a blowout in favor of the Patriots, but while they kept looking at the scoreboard, they discovered it wasn't going to be a blowout.
Right.
So the Chiefs regulars had to stay in there and assure themselves a victory, and it gave them last week off. We'll find out today how effective that was. It was not effective at all for the Baltimore Ravens yesterday. I really felt like they looked stale. San Francisco 49ers did not. But the fact of the matter remains that some teams don't react very well to that week off. I don't think that's going to affect the Chiefs any, I don't think. But we'll find out a little bit later on.
Time will tell.
So what did you think, John? Were you surprised that the Chiefs used the regulars the entire game?
Not entirely. I mean, there was a lot at stake, like Ned said. I mean, the seeding, you know, the possibility was out there, and it happened to work out right. You know, you look back, and depending on how the Chiefs finish this year, you look back at some of these teams that have these magic seasons and some of the things that just fall into place. We'll talk a little bit later. I mean, there's already other things falling into place where if everything goes right, the Chiefs may be hosting a AFC championship game next week. And
yeah,
who thought that was a possibility?
Josh, what'd you think? What's your opinion on it?
I was a little surprised. But again, if they were really watching the scoreboard, which they say they don't, but they do, it did mean a lot more for them to get that higher seed. So when they saw the situation and saw their opportunity to do that, then it doesn't surprise me at that point that they kept the starters in. I think if the Patriots had started to run away with that game, I think they would have pulled them.
They would have. I don't think there's any question about it. And, yes, the scores are posted right up there.
Oh, yeah, it's a giant jumbotron.
These guys are not blind. Come on. And they're not, despite what they might tell you, they're not concentrating on the game to the point where they don't give a darn about what else is going on.
Yeah.
They hear the crowd.
True.
They see the lights. In fact, I was talking to a guy, I'm not going to tell you who, but former major leaguer, who had played rather extensively up at Kauffman Stadium. Not a Royal, but a guy who had played up there. And I ask him a question that's intrigued the daylights out of me. How do you guys on the field concentrate with a lot of those blinking lights going on? Because they have the ribbon-like effect along the outfield and this massive, what is it, 8-story scoreboard, a 10-story, whatever that thing is. And he says, well, you condition yourself to it. I don't know how you can condition yourself
to the constant
disruption of lights going on all the time. Right? Part of the game.
Right,
that's what you have to get to.
What are your thoughts on the game, though? I know it was 2 weeks ago and a lot's happened. We'll get to all that in just a minute. But I thought the Chiefs looked the way that they've looked for the past 6-7 weeks, where they're sharp. And oftentimes they're not flashy, but they are getting the job done on both sides of the ball. Ned, what'd you think?
Well, I think it represents maybe a trend with Mahomes. In the early part of his career, like last season and into the first part of this year, he felt like he was in control of the team. Well, he is, and there's no question about that. But he felt like he had to be the Patrick Mahomes who's daring and exciting and throwing the ball and so forth and so on. And making himself really kind of the center of attention, not purposely, but doing that as a leadership point. Well, now I think they've discovered that he doesn't have to do that because he has auxiliary parts, an offensive line. He has pretty good running backs.
Yep.
He has better than pretty good receivers. That's one of the reasons Mahomes is as good as he is. Mm-hmm. And to work them into the circumstances as opposed to taking the show on his own. So he may have taken his foot subconsciously off the pedal a little bit.
Let me ask you a question. As you brought up those good points, do you think that possibly the injury to Patrick Mahomes helped the Chiefs and helped him?
I think it, well, didn't help because anytime you have that surgery, but did it sober him and mature him? Yes. I don't think there's any question about it. I've talked to other athletes. Moi is included, not in the athletic sense. But once you have an injury of that nature, I don't care what they tell you, you do think about it. Boy, I thought about mine, and 60 years later, I'm still thinking about mine. Hey, those things do come back to affect you mentally. So, yeah, I think that probably did have an effect on him.
Do you think when he was injured and he stood on the sidelines and he watched Matt Moore play and he saw that the team was good? I mean, they were better than good. Mm-hmm. I felt like they started to really come gel together at that point when Matt Moore took over. You think he saw that and said, they can win with Matt Moore. I don't have to go out and throw with my left hand to win a game.
I don't think there's any question about it. That was one of the maturing points. He said, my gosh, we do have a pretty good team, even without me in there. And look at this. This guy hadn't even played football in, what, a year and a half or something like that? And he's leading the team. Yes, I can take my foot off the pedal. And yes, we can win without me. He gives 100%. I don't want to indicate that. But without me having to give...
Do it all.
Every circumstance.
Right.
And,
be a Brett Favre. Be that type of guy. Because Brett Favre never, I think, ever matured through his career to that point where he said, hey, he always felt like he had to do it all.
But he won quite a bit, too.
He did.
He also is the NFL career leader in interceptions because of that, too, though.
Correct as well.
What's your thoughts, John?
I agree with a lot of what you guys said. You know, the game was, again, the defense has been clicking on all cylinders, and that started about the time Moore came in. I think that, you know, learning a new scheme under Spagnuolo, you know, took time. And in addition to that, I think a lot of the veteran leadership on the team kind of said, hey, all right, Patrick Mahomes is out. We've got to kind of put this on our shoulders and we've got to step up. And it hasn't stopped since then. The defense has been fantastic. My one concern from the game, however, is, and I think this is kind of being undershadowed, if you will, Juan Thornhill suffered, of course, a ACL injury. That's going to hurt our secondary. So Breland and the rest of the secondary are definitely going to have to pick up the pace. Thornhill's been a big part of our defense this year.
Yes.
All right, Mr. John Oliver, I'm going to offer a little bit of a, not disagreement, but a little bit of a debating point with you.
Sure.
You make an interesting point about the defense and how it has, and there's no question about it, has played better against the lesser teams on the Chiefs. Now, don't argue with me. That's why I think today's game is so big, because you do have an elusive quarterback in Deshaun Watson. You have a guy like Carlos Hyde, who's not a great runner, but you have a DeAndre Hopkins and people of this caliber. You have some pretty good players. Now, why are the Chiefs going to win? Because Houston's secondary is so bad.
Right.
Mahomes should be able to pass right and left against that group and score big. But I'll tell you, the Texans can score big, too, and they've proven it.
Well, this isn't going to be a cakewalk, because keep in mind, they beat us 31-24 the last time we played. So.
Let me stick up for John here for just a minute. Last year, this Chiefs team couldn't even stop those teams.
Right.
So they made every team look like, you know, 49ers under Joe Montana. They were just going down the field. The video game, Joe Montana, that's what they look like.
Tecmo Bowl.
So that's what they look like. But this year they've been able to step up and do what they need to do. They get the turnovers. The secondary's played better. The pass rush is a containing pass rush, and that's the word you like to use, disrupting.
Oh, very much.
So it's not a flashy, a lot of sacks kind of. And I've liked it that Spagnuolo's adjusted to – impressed me that he's a guy midstream that looked like he said, you know what, this is not working. I'm not going to force this down their throat. So they've started to blitz more, and that's been more effective for the Chiefs, too.
But why did Derrick Henry run for 220 yards against them, and why did who ran 186 yards against them, too?
Oh, I'm trying to think. I can't remember.
Was it one of the Packers running back? Whomever, whatever. Why did they have this happening if they were that much better? Well, all right, they have matured a little bit, and Tyrann Mathieu has been able to absorb what I think Spagnuolo wants to do. So, yeah, I will give you that the Chiefs' defense is better. But how much better? I think we're going to find that out today if the Texans can play well in cold weather. Keep in mind, they're coming up from Houston. That's a controlled climate there at NRG Stadium.
And they were able to shut down the Vikings running back, who at the time was the leading running back in the NFL.
Dalvin Cook. Yep. And so, they did shut him down to an extent, because I think he ran for, 70 or 80 yards, something like that.
Yeah.
There are varying circumstances with each team. I still think today's game is pivotal as far as the Chiefs' defense is concerned.
Agreed.
Josh, your thoughts?
Well, I've been a very vocal detractor of Tyrann Mathieu, and I will actually say I'm impressed with his improvement this season. So that's something, and I agree that the defense has stepped up. It has been against the lesser opponents on their schedule, but it gives them confidence. They are used to the scheme at this point. There's no reason that they can't continue that against other teams. It all depends on the scheme. And if they can contain Deshaun Watson, they're going to win this game.
That's right. Deshaun Watson's not look like Deshaun Watson of 2 years ago, though.
It's true.
He's matured as a quarterback, too. He's not looking to run as much. He throws the ball a little bit more. So I think that's going to play into today's game a lot, too. We're at Ebbets Field. We're on Walnut Street. Stop by and see us. It's Ned Talk, raised by Jim Beam, raised right. We're not raised by Jimmy. I don't know, Ned, possibly.
No, wait a minute. Speak for the show.
Possibly. Got my words out of order there. So let's kind of bring everybody up to date. The Ravens, which were everybody's darling, the number one seed in the AFC, they lost yesterday. So that gives the Chiefs they're the highest seed left. If they win today, then the AFC Championship goes through Arrowhead. But the two teams that they are facing, or the teams that they face, both beat the Chiefs this year.
That's
but you also did not mention another point, too. Yes, and the Chiefs are motivated by the fact that they could be, if they win, they will be, the home team on the way to the championship of the conference and a berth in the Super Bowl. But that also is the same situation with the Houston Texans. If they win, they are the home team.
Yes.
And their path is open for a trip, their first ever, to the Super Bowl. So I think from a motivating standpoint, yes, that does fit into both teams' mindset. The Houston Ball Club, I think, just probably isn't man for man as good as Kansas City. Now, the last game they played, with the Texans coming from behind 17-3 down to win it, was done without Mahomes in there. What he can do against the secondary, I think, is probably going to be the big factor involved.
What do you think about today's game?
I think today's game is going to be very interesting. It's really going to, I think, be a factor with the weather. The timing of the snow could not have been better for the Chiefs. They've played in it. They're used to it. I don't think Houston is used to that. It's going to depend a lot on the running game. Carlos Hyde, as you said, Ned, he's not a stellar back, but he rushed for about 1,200 yards this year. I mean, he's done well in that offense. Watson's a weapon. DeAndre Hopkins is one of probably arguably top three wide receivers in the league. So they have weapons. The defense is good. The secondary is not, as we said. But the Chiefs need to execute, and I think if they execute, I think they're going to win this game tonight.
Josh?
Well, I think if you look at some of the emotional factors of this game, you know, the Chiefs could go in saying, we lost to this team earlier, we're not going to lose to them again. Carlos Hyde is going to have a little bit of a chip on his shoulder because he's a former Chief that they let go. There's a lot of motivating factors for both sides. And again, like I just said, I think as long as the Chiefs defense can contain Deshaun Watson, the Chiefs will win, because I don't see the Texans defense being able to stop the Chiefs unless the Chiefs make mistakes.
One of the things we like to talk about is experience, and the team with the most experience in the playoffs right now in the AFC is the Kansas City Chiefs.
Wow.
And we saw yesterday that perhaps inexperience really hurt the Baltimore Ravens, also
yes,
having
did.
The week off. So that works in the Chiefs' factor, too. They know what to expect. They've been there. But
yeah.
you see that often work in teams' favors.
Joe, they have been there.
Yes.
But what has been the result every time they've been there?
But they know what to expect. Tennessee and Houston don't know what
you
to expect.
You can also look at it another way. They know fully well that they have failed every time they've been in there. Oh, my goodness, when is this going to hit us again? That is a psychological factor, guys. Believe me. I think even more than that, with you're making the reference to Baltimore, I think was their week off. They weren't ready to accept that.
Well, again, that goes back to experience.
It does.
Experience with everything. And I'm surprised, but Harbaugh's a good coach.
He is.
But he didn't have his team more ready to play yesterday than
the Harbaughs as a family have had a tough year.
Yes.
Roll Tide.
Come out and join us. We're hanging out at Ebbets Field on Walnut Street. We're brought to you by Jim Beam Raised Right. It's Ned Talk at 104.7 The Cave. It's Ned Talk on 104.7 The Cave, your local live Chiefs pregame show. We're 40 minutes away from Art Haynes and Mitch Holtis taking over for the Chiefs pregame show. Kickoff 2:05 right here on 104.7 The Cave. Mark Stormy Davis has joined us. John Oliver has stepped out. Stormy, how are you on this wintry day?
I'm doing great. I love looking outside today and seeing all that white on the ground. I was like, where the heck was this for Christmas Day?
Yeah, I know.
That's the only year, the time of the year I would want to see it. But
so what's the line on the game today?
Right now, they're still calling it at 10 points in favor of the Chiefs over the Houston Texans with over-under of 51. And like Ned, I think that's a little too generous on that side of it. The 51 doesn't bother me. I think the points will be there, but I'm not sure about that way, the way the Texans are playing or have the potential to play. And, you know, whether they show up like that is always a question.
Yeah, I think you have to understand in the NFL, 10 points is an awful lot of points to give up. These are the pro football teams that are capable of doing an awful lot of things and even surprising things like Tennessee knocking off the Baltimore Ravens. Who would have thought that's going to happen? I don't think it happens up at Arrowhead, but 10 points to allow another team to be given 10 points? No.
You say that all the time, that they're pro teams. Look at what they did to Chicago. Now, is that not a pro team? 26-3 was the final score in that game.
There's often individuals around the country who will say, hey, the team is so bad that Alabama could beat them just to
yes, like,
right,
yeah.
right.
No.
No.
It's not going to happen. They are pro. They are professional athletes who are paid to do what they do in every single sport, be it football, basketball, baseball. The lowest, the poorest team, an 0-16 Cleveland Browns, would beat the top college team. Of course they would.
Well, here's what I've always said about that. What you have to understand is every NFL player was the best player on their college team. So if you put a team that's all the best players from their college against a college team, there's going to be a percentage of those college players that aren't good enough to be in the NFL.
Tom Brady.
That's where the mistakes
are. Tom Brady was the best player in his team.
Well, you're right. I mean, there are obviously there are exceptions to that rule, but
you guys are all
he still got drafted.
Remember the college All-Star game that came to an end in 1976. It pitted the college All-Stars, the Associated Press College All-Stars. They used the AP for judging, and they got a team of 48, 49 players, brought them together 3 or 4 weeks before, and it was always the first exhibition game of the NFL season, and played the NFL champion at first, and then when the Super Bowl came along, the Super Bowl champion. Collegians never won. Never. As a matter of fact, the final game that was played, it was the All-Stars against the Pittsburgh Steelers, Terry Bradshaw, Lynn Swann, and that bunch. And they played it at Soldier Field in Chicago. And started the third quarter. Here comes this massive thunderstorm in off Lake Michigan. And, I mean, they must have had 5 or 6 inches of rain. The field's underwater. The crowd's coming out. And, you know, they usually brought kids in part of the boys club and girls club,
sure.
YMCA. They're doing surfing on the field and all this sort of thing. And the NFL said, niet. They stopped the game then, and that's the last time they ever played it. But it had its merit, number one, because it was enticing, But number two, it allowed the collegians to look at what the pros were going to do. The reason they stopped it was because these were all number one draft choices out there who stood a chance of getting injured.
Right.
And the owner said, nah, we're not going to have this anymore. But the fact is, the college players never won the thing.
The Washington Generals win occasionally. once every 10 years, the Washington Generals win a game. So I at least have to say that. I disagree with you, Stormy, as I would today because of the weather. I'd not take the points. I would take the spread, but I wouldn't take the points. I'd go under.
Okay. Oh,
so that's what I would do today. Well, I don't think 51 total is going to be scored today.
We'll see.
I think it might be. It might be. But one of the things I want to jump on that you guys talked about earlier was how much that the last game Kansas City kept their foot on the gas throughout the rest of the game. And I think part of that is getting ready for playoff season. I think it's them saying, okay, you have to be ready to go. Start to finish, full bore, this time of year. Earlier in the year, I was one of the people who complained when they would take their foot off the gas. But I also understand the fact that, okay, we don't want to rev them at full speed and risk blowing an engine. And so, to me, that's kind of why they did a little bit of that.
Well, they scored 31 points against the Chargers. And keep in mind now that in the back of their mind, they didn't know they were going to have a week off. So they had to keep their rhythm going. They
right.
had to maintain that level. There are a couple of ways to look at it, and I don't think the Chiefs, and I do agree with Joe here, I don't think the fact that they had a week off is going to affect them all that much. It did Baltimore. I thought Baltimore looked really stale and rusty yesterday, and
they
by
did.
The time they got it all taken care of, it's way too late. I don't think that'll happen with the Chiefs, but the fact is that there's always that possibility, and the fact also is that Houston has the rhythm going, and these guys are trained and conditioned it to be in a rhythm game after game after game after game. Sure, it helps to heal up the bruises and all that, but you disrupt that rhythm and that can have problems.
Now, earlier we were talking about a couple of the injuries with the Chiefs and all that kind of stuff, and it was about 20-30 minutes ago they said that Chris Jones was being worked on with the trainers and did have a brace on his leg, but he was suited out to play.
Did you see what his injury is?
Yes.
It's a tweaking of the calf muscle. And a tweaking brought about by the fact that he was playing a two-on-two basketball game with some of his buddies.
John's saying he's officially out.
Did they pull him?
Who's just out? Who's
Chris Jones?
Chris Jones. Oh,
out.
Wow.
Where did you see that, John?
On the NFL Network.
They're keeping him out.
I just ran it on the ticker across the screen. He said.
Well, that hurts, but I still don't think that's going to be enough to the. There are some deficiencies, yes, in Kansas City's lineup, but this is not the team to beat them. If anybody's going to, it would be the team next week.
Yeah.
We'll see what's
I'd rather have him for that one than this one.
The other thing that to talk about is by the end of the season, this is kind of a war of attrition. I mean, everybody's got nicks and nagging injuries, and some are worse than others.
We had them all at the beginning of the season.
And, so, you know, it when a team has that extra week off, sometimes that is all they need to get those little nagging injuries taken care of. The big ones aren't going to go away. But, you know, that may help us, but also everybody's kind of playing wounded to a certain extent at this point in the season.
Aren't we all?
Yeah.
I was just watching NFL Network, and they were doing a story about J.J. Watt, and they were showing Arrowhead. My big question is, when did Rich Eisen lose all his hair?
Yeah, I don't know.
When did that happen? Rich Eisen is bald now? I didn't know that.
John wanted in a poker game. That's
you like
where
took all his
from.
Hair. We're at Ebbets Field on Walnut Street. It's Ned Talk, your local live sports talk show, your Chiefs sports talk show. We're about 30 minutes away from Mitch Holtis and Art Haynes doing the pregame show. 2:05 is the kickoff today. Let's talk about some NFL news going on. We're also brought to you by Jim Beam, Raised Right.
Raised Right.
So let's talk about some NFL news. A couple of things I want to get to. First of all, Kevin Stefanski, the offensive coordinator for the Minnesota Vikings, hired today by the Cleveland Browns. Now, we'd all like to say this was a good or bad hire, but none of us know that much about Kevin Stefanski to say if it's a good or bad hire.
Right.
But my point on all this, and I told all the guys before we started, was that when Cleveland went into this process, what came out of the owner's mouth, we want somebody with NFL head coaching experience, and they hired the guy with the least amount of coaching experience, period.
Head coaching
experience. Yes. And they hired the guy with the least amount of coaching experience. He's got just a couple of years in the NFL, and I think he coached some college football before that, and that's the choice they made.
Yeah, I'll be honest with you. I didn't even know who he was until yesterday when I was watching the game.
So he must have knocked their socks off when he went in and did the interview.
I would think, I personally thought that Eric Bieniemy would end up there. I thought that would be a perfect fit for him, an offensive coordinator, a guy who can identify with some of the players without naming them on the Cleveland Browns with whom he has had some dealings. And it looked to me to be a perfect choice, but evidently not. And I must admit, don't know too much about this guy, Stefanski.
Well, I think it just fits in with, you know, the Cleveland Browns philosophy of striving for mediocrity.
The only thing I knew about him was I couldn't pronounce his name right when I first saw it.
Let me ask you guys this, because in the interim, there's been a lot that's happened since we did our last show. Jason Garrett finally let go by the Dallas Cowboys. Were you surprised that Garrett didn't get that call? Because I honestly felt like he was one of the best fits for them. He was a head coach that doesn't strive for the spotlight. He's got an offensive background. He checks almost all their boxes. But do you think he's got this stank on him now that he just can't get off because of the Cowboys? It's going to have to wait a couple of years before he's able to get back in there.
I think it's pretty rare for a head coach to get canned in one position, then immediately hired by another NFL team.
Andy Reid. Mm-hmm.
Well, yes, that happened, and Reid did have the 14 years with the Philadelphia Eagles. But so it can happen. But in Garrett's case, I don't know. I really don't know. I don't think it's so much a stain on him that he didn't make it with Dallas. I thought the New York Giants had either courted him or had hired him as offensive coordinator.
Oh, I hadn't seen that.
I hadn't heard about that.
Well, maybe that was just simply an interview they were doing. I didn't pursue it carefully.
Yeah.
I see him probably, maybe not even this year, but the next year, taking a few years as a head coach for maybe a major college team for a while.
Could be.
Kind of get that, as you said, get that stank off of him from what he got in Dallas, because that lingered a long time, and I think them waiting to terminate him, I think that hurt him with waiting so long. I think it should have happened quickly.
I think he was trying to... He was campaigning to keep his job is what I saw.
Yeah, he was campaigning, but I think that was a mistake on his part.
Josh, your thoughts?
I think you're probably right. I think that Jerry Jones has some influence on that as well, and maybe...
Wait, I got to interrupt you. NFL Network, breaking news. Game plan for J.J. Watt and Texans defense is stop Patrick Mahomes and Chiefs offense. That is incredibly insightful.
That's like the insight you heard earlier on the Weather Channel.
Brings up the insight from the young lady who was doing the parking lot interview. She said, you know, people are bundling up because it's cold outside. Thank you, sports fans.
Hey, the game plan, the Chiefs, here's what the Texans are going to do today. They're going to try to stop the Chiefs. Okay? Everybody clear on that?
Gosh, I don't know if you're aware of this or not, but the team with the most points
on the sidelines.
That's what I've heard. Sorry, Josh, to interrupt
you. That's okay.
We had to break in and tell
everybody that. No, that's fine. That was breaking news. I predict that the team with the most points will win today.
Okay, all right.
That's it.
But on the record that's a bold prediction. No, but what were you saying about Jason Garrett? I think he's going to have to take some time off because I feel like the whole situation with the Cowboys and Jerry Jones and all that, people aren't going to want to give him a shot. I mean, I think he's a good coach, but he had a lot of talent at Dallas and didn't do anything with it. And maybe that's a testament to their talent. Maybe they're not as good as we thought.
I want to get to a couple of things. So real quickly, your thoughts on Mike McCarthy as the hire. Do you think that that's going to work well for them?
I do, yes. McCarthy is a good coach. He's a disciplinarian. He will bring his game plan into the fore. And I'm sure Jerry Jones has seen this. What McCarthy is also, and this is where we have a problem, also good at operating in his own context. In other words, he doesn't want somebody meddling with the team. Jerry Jones will not fit that mold, but having said that, I think McCarthy's good. Look what he did with the Packers. Heck, 9 times in the playoffs. That's a pretty good record, guys.
Yeah. If he takes the Jimmy Johnson standpoint and right off the bat has an agreement with Jones and says, okay, when I'm on the sidelines coaching this team, you're going to keep your keister up in your owner's box, you know, I think that'll help him. But like you said, he's a disciplinarian. That's going to work good for him with the Cowboys, I think.
I don't think he'll be able to do that, though, because the only reason that worked with Jimmy Johnson is because he and Jerry Jones were buddies. Oh, I think
teammates.
They had some blowouts,
teammates,
too, though.
Yeah. Oh, of course they did, because they were friends. But I think that may be the one sticking point with him. Mike McCarthy was a really good coach that got really good results with the Packers from the beginning. And whether that's because he inherited a good team or whatever, he did inherit a good team. But he also took him to the next level. I don't know that he's going to be able to do that with the Cowboys just because, again, I mean, if you really think that guys like Dak Prescott and Ezekiel Elliott are that good, why haven't they performed? They didn't perform for their coach that they all loved, So now they got a new one.
Mike McCarthy's a guy, when I look at him, he's one of those guys, he comes in with an unprecedented level of arrogance, too. Because when he went to that Packers job, it was like, I don't care who was the quarterback here before. You could just tell Brett Favre was on his way out and that we're going to do things my way. And they had some success, so you got to you got to tip your hat to him for that. A couple other things I want to cover real quickly, because my son knows very little about football, and we were talking about the playoffs before we came over here to do the show. And the one thing that he wanted to know was the Patriots eliminated? Because he hates the Patriots. Sorry, I know there's Patriots fans out there, but he hates the Patriots. They have been eliminated. And so the drama has now begun, because there's rumors that Tom Brady, I almost said Terry Bradshaw. They look so much alike. Terry Bradshaw, Tom Brady put his house on the market.
Terry's ever
he
had.
Has made some comments in the media and through Twitter about loving the New England fans. And you get a sense that we're going towards an amicable divorce here.
Yeah.
And my sense, and I want to get your opinion on this, Ned, is that you have two guys that want to prove that they can do it without the other guy.
Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts on that?
I think there's a possibility that Brady plays for somebody else next year. And I wouldn't be at all surprised if that other team, this may surprise you guys a little bit, is the Chargers. They're moving into a new stadium. They need something to really be attractive in that new stadium. They aren't the number one team in Los Angeles. They would be, maybe not number one, but they would certainly heighten their credibility with a guy like Tom Brady, and he would fit in well out there. He's kind of a glitzy, tinsel-type quarterback, as well as being a very good player. Physically, would he fit into that mold? He'd have to have a pretty good offensive line. I see him playing again next year. It would not, I'm not going to say it's not going to happen, but it would not surprise me if he does not play for the Patriots.
What are your thoughts, though? Do you agree or disagree that you're looking at two guys that want to prove I can do it without this guy?
Joe, I can't imagine that that's the case. I just don't want to think that in a pro sports where your money, your income is based on how you win, that it's going to come down to a clash of egos. I can't
think that's... The egos are so huge. They're so huge.
But I don't think it would come into that context. The egos are there when it comes down to a game plan and who is going to be in control of a game. But when it comes down to an overall philosophy of a team,
When you look at Belichick, though, when they ask him about Tom Brady leaving, he's like,
I saw a good article two or three weeks ago on Sporting News that somebody wrote. I wish I could remember the author of it. That said he saw Brady possibly going to the Indianapolis Colts.
Could be.
Which could be a good fit for him as well.
I don't see that. I don't see either one of those teams. And I'll tell you why.
Why would it be a good fit for them?
You would have to ask me details on a story I read 3 weeks ago.
Replacing Andrew Luck, yes, but how would that fit into the Colts' scheme of things? In your opinion, their offensive line better?
Well, in my opinion, it would. I think something would do more for their offensive side because of Brady's experience with bigger games, with bigger teams, getting people more motivated with how they play during the games. I wish I could remember what the meat of the article was about.
I want to come back to this, but we got to go to a commercial break. I want to come back to this. We'll talk a little more about Tom Brady and Bill Belichick, see if that marriage is over. We're hanging out at Ebbets Field on Walnut Street. It's Ned Talk and 104.7 The Cave, brought to you by Jim Beam, Raised Rights.
The Cave.
It's Ned Talk and 104.7 The Cave, brought to you by Jim Beam, Raised Right. We're at Ebbets Field today. Sun tried to peek out a minute ago. Maybe get some warmer weather today, hopefully, as the day goes along. We're getting set for the playoff game, the Chiefs and the Texans. J.J. Watt's going to play, but we just got some word that Chris Davis is out for
Chris
the
Jones.
Game. Chris Jones, is out for the game today.
But Travis Kelce is definitely in.
Yeah, yes. Saw some warm-ups a little while ago. Yep. Let's go back to our discussion really quickly about Bill Belichick and Tom Brady. John Oliver has joined us as Josh has stepped off. What are your thoughts on the whole thing?
I think Belichick is a proud man, and he's, you can't really take too much stock in the press conferences because Belichick has never been a soundbite in his entire career. The guy's just going to blow off the media. He has no interest in feeding them anything. Now, at the same time, I have to wonder how the organization feels watching Garoppolo do what he's doing for the 49ers at this stage. because I'm trying to remember who the backup even is in New England. Ned, do you know?
Nobody you even know.
Right. I mean, it's not a young quarterback. It's not a young buck they're going to be able to put in. It's, I mean, if the marriage ends, it ends. We were talking during the break. I think the Raiders have to look at Brady with them moving to Vegas next year. I know Derek Carr is there, but he and Gruden haven't seen eye to eye. That's somebody they could offload to get Brady. There's different possibilities. You know, Brady's still got something left in the tank. I know that much.
I said Denver.
Denver would be a good. I mean, Drew Lock looked good, but he's not. He doesn't look like a premier quarterback in this league yet. Yeah. He was apt, helped them win a couple of times, but that would be a big get for the Broncos.
The only, you know, when you were talking about the Chargers being a team that you go to, that would, you know, that's, I don't see them trading Philip Rivers, who's 39, for Tom Brady, who's 42. That would be like somebody trading a 2013 Fiat for a 2006 Scion. That would be just, that's stupid. Why would somebody do that?
I don't see it going to the Raiders image-wise. It just doesn't seem to fit. But the Broncos and the Colts and some of this other, the Chargers, yeah, but the age comparison is good on that one. But.
And then what you were saying about the Colts is I really feel like they've got a good quarterback in place. If they can just put pieces around him, I think that they'll be a playoff team possibly next year.
Brissett proved this year.
And it was the article that said he was a good fit there, and I just couldn't remember what the hell they said. So
We should switch topics because Ned is looking at his phone.
I'm just looking up the backup quarterback. It's Jarrett Stidham.
Jarrett Stidham. Yeah, I remember him.
That's not the answer for New England.
He played at Watsamata U, didn't he?
Yeah.
Okay.
Jake from accounting's favorite.
Jake from accounting. So there's it is a big story right here. Front page, New York Times, a news leader this week.
A little different.
They're the same paper, pretty much, right? They carry the same stuff.
They're printed on paper.
They're
with
both
ink.
Printed on paper. They're similar. I almost did it again. News leader, Coach Deck out. They negotiated a resignation with Missouri State. And were you surprised?
The story broke the day before, morning before.
Yeah.
Yes, a little bit surprised because the announcement had been made about a month and a half ago that he was going to stay, and he had big plans for the year and so forth and so on. Mm-hmm. The schedule for next year does not comply with a person's mindset that they're going to have a big year because they open with Oklahoma, then they have Montana, which is a semifinal team this year in the playoffs, plus just a really tough schedule, plus the now 8-time defending national champions who will play down here next year. All right. So, yes, the fact of the matter remains that I was a little surprised, but yet not shocked at all. Mm-hmm. I like him. He's always been nice to me, mm-hmm. but a record of 13-42 is pretty tough to sell to the public. And when you have, it may not be a great amount of income forthcoming from your program, you do have to sell a level of hope and credibility among them. And that's very difficult to do when you continue with the program at the same apparent level that it's been going on. So, yeah, maybe a change was necessary. I'm sure that Coach Steck will come out with a very good job. He's a very fine defensive coach. And we wish him nothing but the best, and I hope he does very well.
Your thoughts on it, Stormy?
Well, I haven't spoken to him since the announcement was made. I figured he's probably getting inundated with a lot of questions about it. But it was a couple of private interests from outside the school that came up and said, we will finance the buyout of the contract. And so there were other people, not just in the mass public, but others in the higher up of the boosters, obviously, that said, you know, we need to move on. We need to make a change. But I always liked, I've got to say this, one of the things that Steck concentrated on, the grades were better with the players. They were more outgoing, both on the field and off the field. You saw the confidence change as the years went on. It built every year with the players on the field. Whether they were losing or winning, they kept their foot on the gas and they kept playing hard. And so I saw him growing and maturing young men, which is a big part of what coaches are supposed to do.
It's the ultimate goal, really.
It is, it is. And people lose sight of that far too often as they look at the win-loss column. But what I saw was a vast improvement within those young men and their responsibilities. You know, they had the incident with the quarterback and the issue. But it was all handled very, very strictly, very professionally. And, you know, I saw great improvements there. So I'm hoping that at least that part is something that sticks around, whoever the next coach is. But I know... when Ned and I had a discussion a while back about who the next one should be, I was very much in favor of the choice he made. But also, one of the assistants from, I believe it is South Dakota State, has put his resume in for the job.
There have been a number of resumes that have already been put in, and I'll make no secret about it, because even before Steck was hired, my choice, as it has been for the better part of a decade now, is DeAndre Smith.
Yes.
He was a great, not just a great player, he was an all-time player. The Gateway Conference player of the 80s, a wonderful triple option quarterback, a great person, terrific dialogue, knows a lot about the game. No, he has not been a head coach. He's been an assistant coach for the last 20 years. Right now he's quarterback's coach at Texas Tech, and his son has committed to Texas Tech. His son is an outstanding player.
Dan Jackson's the man's name, who's the defensive backs coach and the special teams coordinator.
John, like me, graduate at Missouri State. Mm-hmm. Your thoughts?
Here's the thing.
Here's the thing. That should be removed from the lexicon.
Right.
Yeah, you use that a lot.
You know, Steck wasn't the problem. There are a lot of other problems outside of just him. However, the program as a whole, and I know this isn't the popular opinion, has a problem. There's a culture problem with football at Missouri State University right now. Ned led perfectly into what I was going to say, talking about DeAndre Smith. I remember going to those games, and no, not for homecoming. No, not for a conference, you know, very important conference game. The place would be packed. Plaster would be absolutely rocking with fans. And as someone who goes back with my wife for alumni weekend, when we go to homecoming now, if the Greek presence wasn't there, it would be absolutely barren in the stands for homecoming. So I think DeAndre Smith would bring interest again, and I think he'd also bring a new look into the recruiting factor, which has been so hard for Missouri State to overcome.
John, in just a few words, a bloodline has to be brought in there. Somebody with an identification with the program. Period.
Agreed.
Exclamation point.
Yes.
I will say this. We got a chance to meet Coach Steck and his family. Mm-hmm. Thought they were great people.
Wonderful.
We wish
people.
Him nothing but the best.
Correct.
And I will say this. That's an incredibly tough job.
Yes,
it is an incredibly tough job. So I don't know that anybody that you're going to put in there is going to have the success, but one of the things I differ with them on is I felt like you recruit better in the Ozarks.
Yes.
I feel like there's a lot of talent here. Come out and join us. We're about to wrap up Ned Talk on 104.7 The Cave. It's Ned Talk on 104.7 The Cave. We're on Ebbets Field. We're at Ebbets Field. We're not on Ebbets Field. That'd be kind of weird if we're up on the roof of Ebbets Field. God, my wording's been way off today. The 2 weeks.
Shake that
rust off. I just can't handle not seeing you for 2 weeks, Ned. I just can't. I get
when I told you guys that 1 week layoff will take you out of your rhythm.
That's
and look,
right.
Look
get,
what it's done to him.
I know.
Yeah.
I get the quarterback of the show. I'm lonely and I miss you. Here we go. The standings. Josh is still atop 44-16. Ned 41-19. John 40-20. Stormy sliding down into my area 39-21. And I'm at 34-26. Okay, we got a couple of games to pick today. Your feelings on the Texans Chiefs. Go.
Kansas City wins it by a score of 37 to 24, Chiefs.
Okay. Stormy is token.
But that means they're going to cover the spread. You said they weren't going to cover it.
Stormy takes the Chiefs.
Josh. I'm taking the Chiefs, and I think they'll cover the spread.
You do?
Yeah, I do.
Okay. All right. What do you think?
I'm going to take the Chiefs, and I don't think they're going to cover the spread.
I'm going to take the Chiefs, and I think that they're going to cover the spread. I think they're going to win easy today.
Yep.
Jinx, jinx.
Jinx,
jinx, jinx, jinx, jinx, jinx, jinx. The other game, the Packers and the Seahawks. I'm going to get this in here because Mike the intern and I talked this morning. We had our daily conversation, so everything's good there, just so everybody knows. Mike was saying that he felt like that if the Packers end up in the Super Bowl, it's all fixed. But get your picks. Packers or Seahawks?
I have to give a very grudging pick to Green Bay, although an upset would not surprise me one little bit. But I think Green Bay overcomes the cold and wins it by a score of 27-24.
Stormy took the Packers.
I'll take the Packers.
All right.
I'm taking the Seahawks.
I'm going to take the Packers.
I'm going to take the Seahawks for some reason.
Solidarity,
brother.
I'm
just going to go with the Seahawks. I want to say thanks to everybody for joining us today. We've got a nice crowd out here today for the weather. We'll be back to be determined. We'll see when everything falls into place. I want to say thanks to Mike and Ned and Josh and John and Stormy, Scott Meyer, Renee, Nick Fury. Get set, Mitch and Arter, coming your way next. It's Ned Talk on 104.7 The Cave, brought to you by Jim Beam, Raised Right.